Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
Today on the program, we will hear stories from Alice Bryant and Bruce Alpert. Later, Phil Dierking and I take you on a journey to Glacier Bay National Park in the state of Alaska. Finally, our American Stories this week is Feathertop. But first, here is Alice Bryant.
Americans are traveling internationally more than ever, the U.S. Commerce Department says. Americans took 74 million trips abroad. That is a 9% increase from 2014. It is also the highest number ever. The information was released in a recent Commerce Department report. The department said the countries that U.S. residents visited most often last year were Mexico and Canada, America's neighbors. The third most popular destination was the United Kingdom. The Dominican Republic and France were the fourth and fifth most popular places to visit. France, Spain, and Mexico had the biggest increases in American visitors in 2015, the Commerce Department report says. Vietnam is also growing in popularity among American travelers. More than 330,000 Americans visited Vietnam in 2015. That is a 33% increase from 2014. Vietnam is especially popular among travelers between 18 and 35, or millennials, says Kim Sykes. She is with Carefree Vacations. She recently spoke with VOA Learning English. Vietnam is a popular destination among millennials because it is off-the-beaten-path travel that offers an authentic experience and also provides a lot of bang for your buck, she said. By bang for your buck, she means a good value. Sykes also said River Cruise Lines recently started operations in Vietnam and Cambodia. They are popular among older travelers, she said. The International Air Transport Association said travel has been increasing in recent months after a decrease following terrorist attacks earlier this year in Belgium, Turkey, and France. International air traffic was 7% higher in September 2016 compared to September 2015. That is the largest year-on-year increase in 7 months, the association reported. Importantly, this rebound from August weakness suggests that travel demand is showing its resilience in the aftermath of terror attacks, said Alexandre de Juniac, the association's top official. I'm Alice Bryant.
The United States Department of the Treasury is selling lucky money for the Chinese New Year. The special $1 note comes with a series of numbers beginning with 8888. The number 8 is considered lucky in Chinese culture. The special U.S. dollar comes in a bright red envelope with Chinese symbols or lettering. The envelope has a picture of a colorful bird, a rooster. That makes sense. 2017 is the year of the rooster. The rooster is one of 12 signs connected with the Chinese lunar calendar. The Lucky Money collection went on sale recently. Sales will continue until the Lucky Money collectibles sell out, even if that comes before the Chinese New Year. In 2017, the new year will begin on January 28th. Selling Chinese New Year products is nothing new for the U.S. government. Since the Year of the Dragon in 2000, the Treasury Department has sold Lucky Money collectibles. "It's extremely well received," said Leonard Olajar. He is director of the Treasury Department's Bureau of Engraving and Printing. He went on to say, "It's our most successful cultural product that we have. We expect we'll sell out in the first week of its release." Lydia Washington already has her Lucky Money. She believes it will bring her good luck. "I mean, it's pretty and shiny. What more can you ask? Lucky Money products are awesome." The Treasury Department said it is limiting sales this year to 88,888 Lucky Dollars. That makes sense for a product connected to the lucky number 8. Each Chinese New Year product sells for $5.95. They are sold through this website, moneyfactorstore.gov. I'm Bruce Alpert.
This week in our travels through America's national parks, we revisit the state of Alaska. The northernmost state is home to 8 major national parks. Today, we visit one of its most famous parks, Glacier Bay. This huge park in the southeastern part of the state covers more than 1 million hectares of Alaskan wilderness. It includes mountains, glaciers, fjords, and even rainforests. Glacier Bay supports hundreds of kinds of animals, including many species of birds, fish, bears, whales, and sea lions. As its name suggests, much of Glacier Bay National Park is covered by glaciers. A glacier is a large area of ice that moves slowly down a slope or valley, or over a wide area of land. Glaciers cover more than 5,000 square kilometers of the park. Glacial ice has shaped the land over the last 7 million years. The glaciers found in the park today are what remains from an ice advance known as the Little Ice Age. That period began about 4,000 years ago.
during the Little Ice Age, the cold weather caused the ice to grow and advance. That growth continued until the 1700s, when the climate began to warm. The hotter temperatures caused the ice to start melting. That melting led the huge glacier to separate into more than 1,000 different glaciers. The extremely tall and jagged mountains seen in Glacier Bay National Park were formed by the ice advancing and then melting over time. The melting of the ice also created water that filled in and created the many fjords within the park. Fjords are narrow parts of the ocean that sit between cliffs or mountains. The huge amounts of water from the melted ice killed off many kinds of plants. Vegetation returned to the area over the next 200 years. The regrowth in plants also brought back many animals to the land. This return of life to Glacier Bay is why it is sometimes called a land reborn. In 1925, President Calvin Coolidge made Glacier Bay a national monument. It did not become an official national park, however, until 1980.
One-fifth of Glacier Bay National Park is ocean water. Most animals living here depend on the water or shoreline. Glacier Bay is home to brown bears and black bears. They are found in the forests as well as along the coastline. They feed on berries and plants found in the woods. They also feed on the fish found in the waters. Humpback whales also feed on fish in Glacier Bay's waters. Humpbacks can weigh more than 35,000 kilograms. They come to Glacier Bay every summer for one main reason: food. They eat more than 450 kilograms of food each day. They remain in Glacier Bay for about 5 months each year. There are also 281 species of birds in Glacier Bay. These include gulls, guillemots, puffins, merlets, and cormorants. Many of these birds make nests on cliffs. They eat small fish and other sea life. Other animals found in the park include moose, mountain goats, stellar sea lions, harbor seals, harbor porpoises, and sea otters.
Glacier Bay is a popular place for people searching for adventure. Some visitors choose to explore the park by kayak. The small, narrow boats offer visitors a chance to experience the park's many fjords and its hundreds of kilometers of coastline. Hiking and camping are also popular activities in the park. But hikers and campers must have respect for the harsh and remote environment. Weather and water conditions can be extreme. Food can also be limited in this area. There is only one official campground, located in Bartlett Cove. But camping is permitted along any of the shores or forests found in the park. This kind of camping is called backcountry camping.
Another popular way to visit the park is by boat or ship. Cruise ships and tour boats make regular trips into the park. Passengers are able to see the park's glaciers up close. These glaciers are always changing. Visitors may witness huge pieces of ice breaking apart from the glacier. This is known as calving. When the ice falls into the water, it creates a loud, thunder-like noise. From glacial fjords to mountain peaks, Glacier Bay holds some of the continent's most awe-inspiring natural wonders. It is a land reborn and a place that continues to change with time. I'm Phil Dierking.
Our story today is called Feathertop. It was written by Nathaniel Hawthorne. Here is Shep O'Neill with the story.
The long cold winter was gone at last. At first, the cold nights went away slowly. Then, suddenly, the warm days of spring started to come. There was new life again in the earth. Things started to grow and come up. For the first time, green corn plants began to show. They pushed through the soil and could now be seen above the ground. After the long winter months, the crows, the big black birds, were hungry, and when they saw the little green plants, they flew down to eat them. Old Mother Rigby tried to make the noisy and hungry birds go away. They made her very angry. She did not want the blackbirds to eat her corn, but the birds would not go away. So, early one morning, just as the sun started to rise, Mother Rigby jumped out of bed. She had a plan to stop those black birds from eating her corn. Mother Rigby could do anything. She was a witch, a woman with strange powers. She could make water run uphill, or change a beautiful woman into a white horse. Many nights, when the moon was full and bright, she could be seen flying over the tops of the houses in the village, sitting on a long wooden stick. It was a broomstick, and it helped her to do all sorts of strange tricks. Mother Rigby ate a quick breakfast and then started to work on her broomstick. She was planning to make something that would look like a man. It would fill the birds with fear and scare them from eating her corn, the way most farmers protect themselves from those black, pesky birds. Mother Rigby worked quickly. She held her magic broomstick straight and then tied another piece of wood across it. And already it began to look like a man with arms. Then she made the head. She put a pumpkin, a vegetable the size of a football, on top of the broomstick. She made two small holes in the pumpkin for eyes, and made another cut, lower down, that looked just like a mouth. At last, there he was. He seemed ready to go to work for Mother Rigby and stop those old birds from eating her corn. But Mother Rigby was not happy with what she made. She wanted to make her scarecrow look better and better, for she was a good worker. She made a purple coat and put it around her scarecrow and dressed it in white silk stockings. She covered him with false hair and an old hat. And in that hat she stuck the feather of a bird. She examined him closely and decided she liked him much better now, dressed up in a beautiful coat with a fine feather on top of his hat, and she named him Feathertop. She looked at Feathertop and laughed with happiness. "He is a beauty," she thought. "Now what?" she thought, feeling troubled again. She felt that Feathertop looked too good to be a scarecrow. "He can do something better," she thought, "than just stand near the corn all summer and scare the crows." And she decided on another plan for Feathertop. She took the pipe of tobacco she was smoking and put it into the mouth of Feathertop. "Puff, darling, puff," she said to Feathertop. "Puff away, my fine fellow. It is your life." Smoke started to rise from Feathertop's mouth. At first, it was just a little smoke, but Feathertop worked hard, blowing and puffing, and more smoke came out of him. "Puff away, my pet," Mother Rigby said with happiness. "Puff away, my pretty one. Puff for your life, I tell you." Mother Rigby then ordered Feathertop to walk. "Go forward," she said. "You have a world before you." Feathertop put one hand out in front of him, trying to find something for support. At the same time, he pushed one foot forward with great difficulty. But Mother Rigby shouted and ordered him on, and soon he began to go forward. Then she said, "You look like a man, and you walk like a man. Now I order you to talk like a man." Feathertop gasped, struggled, and at last said in a small whisper, "Mother, I want to speak, but I have no brain. What can I say?" "Ah, you can speak," Mother Rigby answered. "What shall you say? Have no fear. When you go out into the world, you will say a thousand things, and say them a thousand times. And saying them a thousand times again and again, you still will be saying nothing. So just talk. Babble like a bird. Certainly you have enough of a brain for that." Mother Rigby gave Feathertop much money and said, "Now you are as good as any of them and can hold your head high with importance." But she told Feathertop that he must never lose his pipe and must never let it stop smoking. She warned him that if his pipe ever stopped smoking, he would fall down and become just a bundle of sticks again. "Have no fear, Mother," Feathertop said in a big voice, and blew a big cloud of smoke out of his mouth. "On your way," Mother Rigby said, pushing Feathertop out the door. "The world is yours, and if anybody asks you for your name, just say Feathertop. For you have a feather in your hat and a handful of feathers in your empty head." Feathertop found the streets in town, and many people started to look at him. They looked at his beautiful purple coat and his white silk stockings, and at the pipe he carried in his left hand, which he put back into his mouth every 5 steps he walked. They thought that he was a visitor of great importance. "What a fine, noble face," one man said. "He surely is somebody," said another, "a great leader of men." As Feathertop walked along one of the quieter streets near the edge of town, he saw a very pretty girl standing in front of a small red brick house. A little boy was standing next to her. The pretty girl smiled at Feathertop, and love entered her heart. It made her whole face bright with sunlight. Feathertop looked at her and had a feeling he never knew before. Suddenly, everything seemed a little different to him. The air was filled with a strange excitement. The sunlight glowed along the road, and people seemed to dance as they moved through the streets. Feathertop could not stop himself and walked toward the pretty, smiling young girl. As he got closer, the little boy at her side pointed his finger at Feathertop and said, "Look, Polly, the man has no face. It is a pumpkin." Feathertop moved no closer, but turned around and hurried through the streets of the town toward his home. When Mother Rigby opened the door, she saw Feathertop shaking with emotion. He was puffing on his pipe with great difficulty and making sounds like the clatter of sticks or the rattling of bones. "What's wrong?" Mother Rigby asked. "I am nothing, Mother. I am not a man. I am just a puff of smoke. I want to be something more than just a puff of smoke." And Feathertop took his pipe and with all his strength smashed it against the floor. He fell down and became a bundle of sticks as his pumpkin face rolled toward the wall. "Poor Feathertop," Mother Rigby said, looking at the heap on the floor. "He was too good to be a scarecrow, and he was too good to be a man. But he will be happier, standing near the corn all summer and protecting it from the birds. So I will make him a scarecrow again."
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.